welcome to the Veterinary Financial Podcast, where we discuss financial freedom and professional success. I'm Meredith Jones, a veterinarian and financial planner for vets. Today, we're talking about something a lot of vets are worried about, higher student loan payments. With the Big Beautiful Bill reshaping repayment plans, many vets are facing big changes. I'm hearing from clients who are switching off of save onto pay or IBR and seeing higher payments. I'm hearing from clients who are on pay right now, but they're looking ahead to higher payments on old IBR in a couple of years, or they might be leaving save and going straight to the old version of IBR and getting hit with a huge payment jump. So it's something that is really stressful for a lot of people right now, but you can prepare. I've been talking with a lot of vets who are nervous about this next chapter of their student loan journey, and they're asking me, okay, which plan am I eligible for? What payment should I expect? And between the changes to save and pay with those plans being phased out, and then we've got the new wrap plan that's going to be available next year, there's really just a lot of uncertainty. And for a lot of vets, switching plans is going to mean facing a much higher payment than they have had before or that they've had in a while. If you haven't already, check out episode 67, which talks in more detail about all of the student loan changes that happened with the Big Beautiful Bill. To set the stage, interest and payments were paused for years during COVID, like over 3 years. And that pause felt like a lifeline at first, but it also means that a lot of veterinarians, especially recent grads, have never had to make a payment at all. On top of that, recertification dates have been pushed forward again and again, which delayed increases in payments to go along with the increased incomes that a lot of vets have experienced during COVID and after COVID. So some of you are switching off of save onto pay and you're facing higher payments because when you switch plans, you have to recertify your income. Other vets may be on pay already, but if they had a loan balance before July 2014, then they're going to have to prepare for a payment on old IBR in a couple of years. And so that's going to be a higher payment than what they would pay on save. And vets who borrowed before October 2007 are moving from save directly to old IBR. And a lot of them are suddenly staring down a massive payment increase. Clients I meet with and vets I talk to in the Debt Free Vets Facebook group, they're often looking for guidance prior to switching plans. They want to make sure that they're ready to take that next step. So for context from, of course, the veterinary side of things, of course, during COVID, our profession went through incredible hardships. We were taking care of patients while communicating with clients who were in the parking lot, dealing with limited staffing, team members getting sick, burnout at record highs, and losing some staff members due to that as well. And I was working ER during that time, so I know firsthand how difficult it was. One positive for many veterinarians is that their incomes went up. Demand skyrocketed, wages shifted up, but then student loan payments were paused during COVID. And when payments restarted, most people returned to their pre-COVID student loan payments. And then with the save court actions, loans went on forbearance again, and interest and payments were paused for yet another year from July 2024 until interest restarted August 1st, 2025. The payments on save, they still haven't restarted, but you can only resume making progress toward forgiveness if you switch plans. Switching plans requires you to recertify your income. Now that that pause is ending for a lot of people with switching off of save, this new payment is very real. And I'm hearing panicked reports, unfortunately, from vets in the Debt-Free Vets Facebook group and sometimes for new clients as well. I had a vet reach out who said, hey, my payment was $500 a month before, and now they're saying it's going to be $1,200 a month. How on earth did this happen? Is this correct? How could this possibly be true? That payment may be correct considering what vet incomes look like now, but unfortunately, it doesn't change the emotional fatigue that comes with the realization that whether it's now or whether it's in the future, a lot of vets will be required to make a much higher payment than they did before. I have 5 steps to prepare for a higher student loan payment. Number 1 is know your next steps. So if you're unsure of your next steps, as in the next repayment plan you should be on or the next steps to make sure that you're optimizing your student loan strategy, I would encourage you to work with a certified student loan professional. I help my clients review their student loan situation, run the numbers, answer all their questions, and we either outline your next steps or take those steps during the meeting. Sometimes we'll go ahead and switch plans during the meeting in cases where it makes sense. If you're married, it's really important to know whether filing taxes married filing separately would save you money compared to filing your taxes married filing jointly. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I meet with vets all the time who are able to cut their student loan payments in half by filing taxes married filing separately versus filing them jointly. And so it's not the right step for everyone. So it is really important to run the calculations, but it is an important step to take if you're married, and knowing which one is better for you can save you a ton of money. I have met with in the past few weeks who are saving on a yearly basis, some of them something like $9,000 a year, $12,000 a year. It can be, of course, more or less than that, but just to give you an idea what we're talking about there, it's not just a little bit. Number 2 is getting clear on your budget. It's hard to prepare for a higher payment if you don't know where your money is going in general in your budget. So I do highly, highly recommend using a cash flow tool like Monarch Money. That's my personal favorite. That's the one that I use with my clients, and it's included with the service for folks who work with me on financial planning. So I really, really love Monarch Money. There are some other cash flow budgeting tools out there like YNAB, which stands for You Need a Budget, or Every Dollar. I've heard about a couple other ones. Or even just looking at a simple spreadsheet. Most vets I talk to don't really like spreadsheets, but if you're a spreadsheet person, that's fine. The goal is awareness, not perfection. So you're not expecting that budget to be perfect the first time you do that, or the first few months that you do a budget, or that you are doing a budget if you haven't done one in a long time. But the idea is to take a look and see, where do you need to monitor your money more closely? Consider what can be repurposed toward student loan payments without making you feel deprived. Number 3 is to build in some breathing room. So if you have credit card debt or other consumer debt and you're on the save forbearance, you may need to focus on that first before switching plans. If you're looking at switching off of save onto another payment plan and you're facing a higher payment, you may say, okay, it's going to be more beneficial for me to pay down this credit card debt that may be at a higher interest rate, something like 20%, something like that, versus directing that money towards student loan payments right now. If you're looking at a payment increase and your payment's going to jump by something like $500 a month or $1,000 a month, you may need a runway for that. So if you're switching off of save, go ahead and start setting aside the extra money now, even before your new payment hits. You can think of it as a student loan sinking fund. And that way, when the new payment does arrive, you're already used to the new cash flow. If you're looking at a higher payment once you switch off of pay in a couple of years, you could consider doing the same thing. Put the money in a high yield savings account and practice making the payment and making the payment to yourself into a savings account, practicing the payment so that the jump in payment doesn't shock your cash flow. Number four is considerations related to burnout and income. Many veterinarians I work with, they're earning more than they ever have in their lives, but sometimes that can come at the cost of burnout. Certainly take a look out there at all of the great employment options that are available to veterinarians. If you're not happy in your current employment situation, know that there are still quite a few jobs out there that you could look at switching to, or switching to relief work, that sort of thing. If you're feeling trapped by loans, it's easy to think, okay, I just have to work more, but that's not sustainable for most of us. So instead of thinking, okay, I've got to pick up all these extra shifts because of my student loans, what I would encourage you to do is focus on making intentional choices, negotiating your base salary, negotiating your production percentage, looking at benefits. Is there something that can be adjusted with your compensation to make the work that you're already doing every day more beneficial for you and have it be something more sustainable that way? Consider just only taking extra shifts if that aligns with your goals. And keep in mind that extra income can also increase future student loan payments as well. Number five is shift your perspective. It may be helpful to take a step back and just look at this with a broader lens to get a different perspective and consider flipping the switch on this. If you're really feeling like you're trapped with these higher student loan payments, and just keep in mind that for years you had no payment and no interest due to an unprecedented event that was COVID, and that was an unusual break. It's like your loans went on vacation for a while. It wasn't meant to last forever. The jump in payment feels steep because the pause was long. And for folks who went on the safe forbearance, it was even longer. But you can adapt and you don't have to do it all at once. And you're not alone in this. You don't have to do this all alone. So if you are facing a higher student loan payment moving forward, I hope that this provides some practical steps and also some perspective on this. Thank you so much for listening. If you're facing your own student loan decisions and want to talk through your options, you can always connect with me at All Vet Financial. Visit allvetfinancial.com and click the Book Now button to schedule a free intro call. And until next time, take care and continue your path to financial success. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered individualized financial advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, it should not be considered a recommendation or endorsement to buy or sell the investment. All investments involve risk. Past performance does not guarantee future results. You are encouraged to seek the advice of a financial professional before implementing any investment strategies discussed. Yay, compliance!